Chapter 9 of the Gospel of John. As he walked along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned. He was born blind so that God's works might be revealed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me. While it is day, night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." When he had said this, he spat on the ground and made mud with his saliva, and then spread the mud on the man's eyes, saying to him, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. Then he went and washed and came back able to see. The neighbors and those who had seen him before as a beggar began to ask, "Is this not the man who used to sit and beg?" Some were saying, "It is he." Others were saying, "No, but it is someone like him." But he kept saying, "I am the man." But they kept asking him, "And then how were your eyes opened?" And he answered, "The man called Jesus made mud, spread it on my eyes, and said to me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' Then I went and washed and received my sight." They said to him, "Where is he?" He said, "I do not know." They brought to the Pharisees the man who had formerly been blind. Now it was a Sabbath day when Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes. Then the Pharisees also began to ask him how he had received his sight. He said to them, "He put mud on my eyes, then I washed, and now I see." Some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, for he does not observe the Sabbath." But others said, "How can a man who is a sinner perform such signs?" And they were divided. So they said again to the blind man, "What do you say about him? It was your eyes that he opened." And he said, "He is a prophet." The Jews, or the religious authorities, did not believe that he had been blind and had received sight until they called the parents of the man who had received his sight and asked them, "Is this your son who you say was born blind? How then does he now see?" His parents answered, "We know that this is our son and that he was born blind, but we do not know how it is that he sees, nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him, he is of age. He will speak for himself." His parents said this because they were afraid of the religious leaders, for the leaders had already agreed that anyone who confessed Jesus to be the Messiah would be put out of the synagogue. Therefore, his parents said, "He is of age. Ask him." So for the second time, they called the man who had been blind, and they said to him, "Give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner." He answered, "I do not know whether he is a sinner. One thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see." They said to him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" The man answered, "I have told you already, and you would not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples?" They reviled him, saying, "You are his disciple, but we are the disciples of Moses. We know that God has spoken to Moses, but as for this man, we do not know where he comes from." Ready, church? Pay attention. The man answered, "Here is an astonishing thing. You do not know where he comes from, and yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but God listens to ones who worship and obey God's will. Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a person born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. They answered him, "You were born entirely in sins, and you are trying to teach us?" And so they drove him out. Jesus heard that they had driven him out, and when he found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" And he answered, "And who is he, sir?" Ready, church? Get ready. Here comes the most important part. "Tell me so that I might believe." And Jesus said, "You have seen him. You have seen him, and he is speaking with you now. I came into this world for judgment, so that those who do not see me may see, and those who not do see may become blind." Some of the Pharisees near him heard this and said to him, "Surely we are not blind, are we?" And Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would not have sinned. But now that you say, 'We see,' your sin remains." The living word of our Lord. So we've been journeying together through this season of Lent with this theme of CrossFit for the soul, thinking about how to exercise our spiritual lives and strengthen who we are and how we connect to God. It's why we have the imagery of exercise equipment and our bulletin cover with a strong woman holding what looks like a very strenuous amount of weight. Because we know that just as we work on our physical bodies, we also need to work on our spiritual lives as well. And so we've thought about how we must get over the hurdle and just get started. Because we know that sometimes getting started to begin an exercise regime is the hardest part, right? Can I get an amen? No money? All right. And then we talked a little bit about how we have to recognize in ourselves the need for change. The need that we have to change from where we are to where we want to be, both, you know, especially in our spiritual lives. And then we talked about reassessing, right? Refocusing our sight onto God, just like Nicodemus did in that engagement with Jesus. And then last week we came to the well where we received the living water to stay hydrated on this journey, knowing that our spiritual lives must be quenched by the living, loving water of Christ. And today we come to hear this scripture and to think about how Jesus is offering us a new definition, how Christ is redefining for us what our spiritual lives should look like, and how Christ offers us healing on that journey. When I was in, when I was a student and undergraduate, I minored in philosophy, and I loved philosophy. Philosophy was a lot of fun to be in. Sorry, I'm just thinking about the pictures. You're going to need to skip the first two. I loved philosophy, mostly because philosophy had nothing to do with math. But usually I enjoyed how intriguing it was and complicated it was to be thinking through some of these large issues that plague the human brain sometimes. And so one of the first day we came into Philosophy 101, I sat down having read Plato's Republic. Has anybody read Plato's Republic besides me? It's quite the text. That's Plato, or what they believe Plato looked like, I guess. He's an ancient Greek philosopher, and he had many, many philosophies. But one of them for which he's most famous for, perhaps, is Allegory of the Cave. The Allegory of the Cave is a philosophical idea that teaches that all of humanity are chained inside a cave, looking at the wall where shadows pass by as the light from the opening in the cave behind them casts light onto the cave. And they're so mesmerized and taken by the shadows on the wall that they can't fathom that there's anything else outside of that existence. They're clouded. Humanity is clouded by the shadows on that wall. And it's not until someone else who has been there and seen the light that comes and reminds them and shows them that there's something behind them where the light is coming from, that they can leave the cave and go into something bigger and more beautiful than where the wall they've been staring at. The Pharisees in the ancient world, I believe, are an example of people staring at the wall in Plato's cave. See, the Pharisees are people who are the religious elite of the day. They're the folks who are modeling what it means to follow the law and to show the people of that day what it looks like to be in right relationship with God. They believed that they were the most righteous of righteous people. They, were so righteous that they would take 10%, I might have told this to you before, but it's a good fact, 10% of their herb gardens and donate that to the church, to the purposes of God, because they believed everything they had, even that which God created through the growth of their herb garden, should be given back to God at a 10% rate. And that was how pious and righteous they believed they were. I think that the Pharisees of the day were so caught up in the minutiae of the law and of what was going on around them that they missed the bigger picture of hope that Christ was offering. They missed the larger reality that Christ was bringing forth in their world. This story is not only a story of miraculous physical healing of this blind man, but it's a story of healing for all people, and especially the Pharisees, when we get blinded by the shadows of our lives. I think our world today is filled with shadows and walls that blind us from the hope of God. We often get caught up in other worldly things than that which is of God. And they become shadows blinding us from being able to see the love of God in our world. Our church recently began a program called Fresh Start. Oh, that was a Pharisee, by the way, back there. We began a program called Fresh Start, which is a worship service that we designed in connection with the recovery groups who use our building to help those, to help anybody in life who is suffering from what we call a hurt, habit, or hang-up to find the love of God in their life. We believe and we teach at Fresh Start that all people, everyone has some sort of hurt, habit, or hang-up that they struggle with. That hurt, habit, or hang-up can be anything from a broken relationship to an addiction to drugs or alcohol to an experience of grief and sorrow. There are many things that become shadows in our life, working to prevent us from seeing the light outside the cave. In Fresh Start, we worship together each week on Sundays, and we share with one another how we see God working in our lives as a part of every service. Every person who feels led shares with us. And one time in that moment, a person said to us who attends, he said, "You know, when I attend AA, they tell me all the time the importance of a higher power and of praying and meditation. But they never teach us how to do it. They never dive any deeper into what that should look like or how to go about building that connection. And it's by coming to Fresh Start that I've learned to do those things. And it's because of Fresh Start," he said, "that he's been able to find to love himself and to love God instead of loving alcohol and his addiction. This is the work of seeing the light of God in our lives. This is how we become for other people the light of God, offering to them hope and resurrection. Offering them the chance to get out of the cave and to move away from the blinding shadows into the hope that God offers for each and every one of us. The grounding principle that we teach in Fresh Start is that we are children of God and people of worth. That we aren't here just to muddle along and then die, but we are here because God chose us to be those who love God and to help God share God's love with others, that the world might be a place of justice, harmony, peace, and goodwill. A world guided by the principles of a God who loves all people, of a God who cares for each and every individual as much as God cares for the collective. This is how we go about doing that in the world. See, Jesus redefines healing. Jesus says healing, the physical healing, is certainly within God's scope of ability. But the healing that God wants to offer to each and every person is the spiritual healing of being able to see the love and hope God has for you in your life, to free us of those hurts, habits, and hang-ups that prevent us from living in a way that reflects the truth that we are children of God and people of worth. I'm pretty sure that I'm not the only person in the room today who needs spiritual healing to remind me that God loves me unconditionally. I need to be reminded of that day after day after day. And so, as you reflect on where it is that God needs to help you move into the hope of God and out of the shadows of the cave, we're going to invite you to come up during our final hymn and receive oil as an anointing to remind you, to be a symbol for you, that God has healed you and that you are a child of the Creator and a person of worth.